What's going on, guys? Welcome into the DNVR Nuggets podcast. We are presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure to use the code DNVR when you sign up and download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. We've got myself, Harrison Wynn, Brendan Vogt, Eric Weedham, you know him as D-Line, and Adam Mars on the show today. Adam, what are we talking about today?
A lot to discuss. Bones Highland makes all rookie. We're going to talk about that. We got Jordy Fernandez, the defensive coordinator, unofficially of the Denver Nuggets. He moves on to Sacramento to rejoin Mike Brown with the staff out there on the West Coast. But the big story today, as Shams Charania reported last night, the Minnesota Timberwolves are in pursuit of Tim Connelly. I repeat, they are in pursuit of Tim Connelly. They seem to be very aggressive going for him. The report includes a massive pay bump. It also includes some ownership stake in the company of some capacity. Ownership stake is funny because equity could mean anything in a company. He could be getting, 5% of a company. Oh, look, there he is. D-Line joins us right on time, right on cue.
What up, guys? We're going at 134 today, right?
Yep, we're going at 134. But it could mean that. It could mean a small stake. Like, I don't know. Here's what I've been told. It's a substantial offer. This is like a big enough offer that it's unconventionally large in scale. Eric, is that you that is making a real funny? Yeah, it is. You got to correct your mic or something because something is like really, really chewy. It's an abnormally large deal. I mean, this is a thing. And I actually was told this. I think we talked about this. I know me and Eric did. I think the rest of us did. But, I had got tipped off a week ago that there were teams, multiple, that were in pursuit of Tim Connelly and that he was going to be a hot commodity this offseason with his contract coming up. So I wasn't totally surprised. Although when I got that piece of information last week, I thought it wasn't from a source that I know. So I was just like, all right, that's interesting. I'll keep my ear to the ground. And then sure enough, this week comes in a big haymaker. Harrison, what was your first reaction when you got the news yesterday? You saw it come across the timeline.
Yeah, it was a stunner, man. It was a stunner. I think similar to how it was like really shocking when the reports came out that the Wizards wanted him in 2019. Right. Like that came out of nowhere as well. And look, man, giving a president or a GM a stake in ownership, like in any sort of capacity, that's unheard of, right? I don't even think Masai Ujiri has an ownership stake in Toronto, even though that was rumored at one point. So to go to that extent to try to get somebody like Tim Connelly, the way I read it is Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry, they've haven't even fully taken over control of the Timberwolves, but are going to have 100% control by 2023. They want to make a massive splash. And this, I think Connelly's on the lower end of like the massive splash of the list they put together that reportedly included like Daryl Morey and Bob Myers and Sam Presti and a bunch of guys they probably were never going to get. But it seems like Tim Connelly was gettable because look, we know he's super underpaid in Denver. We know another team can definitely give him more resources than he has in Denver. And, Minnesota seems like they could be in position to do that, but nobody can pass up an ownership stake, right? Like, that's generational money.
Again, we don't know what it is. He could be being offered 0.01% ownership stake or something, like a negligible amount of money. I don't think that's the case from everything I have heard from calling everybody. By the way, like I have largely been off of the take machine, aka Twitter. Like with big stories like this, man, it's important to get right information than just give your visceral first reaction. In my opinion, I know everybody has a different style, but for me, it's like there's going to be too many moving parts. I want to make phone calls. I talked to a lot of people. Wanted to try to get an assessment of what exactly to make all of this, and then talk today. But yes, my understanding is I've seen a lot of people say, "Well, this is." The Kroenkes are on the clock now. Let's see if they match. I think the offer is such that I would kind of be surprised if they matched. The question is almost, is there a bridge you can make that's like, hey, it's not quite the same offer, but it's close enough. I think Tim Connelly obviously wants to be here, but we'll get into all that. Vote, what's your initial reaction?
Well, I was also trying to juxtapose it with that Washington situation and figure out the ways it does and does not remind me of that. The first is that just on a base layer, before you get into the offers, these are not both of these jobs, Washington and now Minnesota, despite being in a better place, this is not a better job than the helm of the two-time MVP who's knocking on the door of making the finals for the first time in team history, in my eyes.
Correct.
But the Washington deal had this element of the regional connection. It was his dream job. And so there was a, I can't ignore this element. And I think that's represented here in the ownership stake. I think if these were two equal offers or even comparable offers, I would guess, and this is a guess just based off what I know about Tim, that he's not necessarily keen on leaving, not actively looking to leave, but this
he deal doesn't want to leave. No, you can go ahead and say that definitively.
He doesn't want to leave, but this deal is, we can infer, and I think some of us have heard as much, that this deal is substantial enough that it's on the table. So surprised to see that it's gotten this far, and that it's gotten this far, I think, implies that it is serious, as Shams chose his word.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I think I'm... here's the thing. Like, you don't know about what is important in life to you until you are presented with all of the options. Like, they say that a man is only as faithful as his options. I don't believe that to be true, personally, but this is true for a lot of people. Like, you don't quite know what is important to you until things that you didn't even consider part of your world become available. And, you know, it was asked to me, I think maybe on the show at some point, like, what it would take for me to go to, like, the Denver Broncos, or, like, to even...
It was to the Lakers, actually.
To the Lakers, yes. And there is there's nothing. Like, there's no amount of money, because...
You really think that's true?
Yes, I know that's true, because...
But Eric, you're not presented with the option.
But here's the thing, is that, like, for me, I know what is important to me. What is important to me is creative control and understanding that, like, the things that are value, that I spent all of my time thinking about, are able to be expressed in a way that are unimpugned and are pure. Tim Connelly has that here. He has the ability to write his own story. The only problem is he doesn't have the ability to write his own check to finance that story. It's always difficult to sort of speculate on these business dealings, because obviously the only people that know exactly what the offer really is are the people that are in the room. Like, the offer includes not just money, not just ownership stake, but the ability to work inside of a team that you feel strongly about, and you feel like would be able to further your ideas and make sure that the things you're doing actually are realized. So it seems like unfathomable to me that Tim Connelly would leave, but it also, like, I don't know what the offer, like, we just don't know what the offer actually is. Like, if it's something that, like, he doesn't strike me as a guy that cares that much about money outside of just, like, wanting it in the same way that any of us would. But man, I don't know. Like, I also don't know that, like, the Kroenke organization is something that you necessarily feel like is a blood oath that you sign into once you, right. Like, that's something that you aspire to be a part of. Like, I think that the NBA is something that he aspires to be a part of. The NBA is something that is important to him. His vision, his scouting, the things he's passionate about are what are important to him. And this is not the only place he can get that, for sure. My only hope is that the relationships and the culture that he has built is enough that, you know, he feels like just that thing of, like, wanting to finish something that he has started. But at the same time,
I think there's
time,
no,
like,
question. Here's the thing, real quick. I'm going to interject and then throw it back to you, D-Line. But I think you're actually framing the situation pretty well. And we don't know what the Kroenkes are going to do. Like, the Kroenkes, I think, are now up. Like, you know, they're now, let's see what they say and how they handle this situation. By the way, not just on, like, what if they offer a counter offer or what have you, but also, like, maybe this is an opportunity. Usually, like, Tim Connelly has earned his stripes now. He's very well respected. Now it's maybe a question for, hey, we're negotiating. I want to come back. We got a price. But here's some other things that I think you need to, for us to get to the next level, you Kroenkes have to do this, this, and this, or commit to doing that right now. And that's part of my agreement to come. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I think you framed it right in that Tim Connelly's heart's in Denver. I really believe that. His kids were born here. Like, he's got roots in here now. He's a Baltimore person. I mean, you're not going to take that from him. But I think he has got roots here in large part because, I mean, he loves the city. Like, everybody that moves here just ends up falling in love with the city and all of that, all of those things. But also, he is the architect. As much as anyone, he is the architect of this team. Jokic is the most important piece of it all. Michael Malone is, you know, the leader of it all. But he is the architect. He put these wheels in motion. He found Jokic. He helped establish a culture. His fingerprints are all over this. And to your point, Eric, that's why I say you framed it right, and that this does appear to be a situation that is almost certainly not going to be as rewarding. Almost certainly, you don't know, but almost certainly, versus staying here and taking a pay cut. Let me ask you this. This is what I wanted to ask you, though, Eric. Would you judge him? Like, is there any part of you that would be like, man, I'm disappointed if he were to take this deal?
It's not a disappointed in him. Mm. It's just a disappointment in the reality of what it is to be a Nuggets fan. Mm. It is another thing that reminds you that, you know, for as much as we love this team, we love this team because of their scrappiness and the fact that they're like an underdog and like they represent like doing things in the right way versus just being given, you know, a silver spoon. And, you know, like there's not a lot of thoughtfulness that has to be taken into consideration when building other squads just because you have more things at your disposal. Minnesota is not that, though. Would I be disappointed? This is like where, you know, you look at it and you're like, I don't know all of the details. I just don't know all the details. Like if it was literally just a lateral move from one place to another, and it was like to escape, you know, the feeling of like not having enough resources or like not having, or like the fact that, you know, like we could potentially be in trouble with this Michael Porter Jr. deal that he signed, like that would be very disappointing to me. But I don't think that that's the case. Like Tim Connelly strikes me as a guy that is a life first person, not a money first person. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, you can't like judge people in this situation unless you yourself have actually felt what it feels like to have somebody just show up to your house with a goddamn bag of cash. Like,
well, real quick, as an aside, you know, Eric is a partner in this company. You know, and just so you know, these decisions come to DNVR frequently. It's so funny when we read things. People always like try to connect dots or guess about this. Like Eric, the reason I kind of laugh about this is Eric and I have these discussions all the time about like who you would or would not ever sell to or partner with or this or that. Like Eric, there is money that has been thrown at us that's like, no, because that's going to change us in a way that's not what we want to do. And I'd rather just suffer through trying to be a startup for more years than cash out for some lame thing.
We are like very deeply involved with the mixing of soul and capitalism. And so I am always in a place where I am looking to save our soul in the face of capitalism, which would look to strip you of it and, you know, like give you advantages in a world where you would have to sort of like start over and would, you know, destroy what got you there in the first place. And this is just like life philosophy. Some people think you know, you just need to go for what you can get and that's the end of it. Some people feel like our time here on earth is fleeting. And so everything that you should do that you do should be meaningful. It's just that is what capitalism makes you do. It like makes you figure out what is important to you in the face of the thing that is important to everybody, which is having the thing that you can trade for goods and services.
Right. That's so true. Like, man, Tim Connelly might make enough money that he could trade to have the Nuggets job sometime. Or
something. Like what if Tim Connelly makes enough money, he just like buys the Nuggets. That'd be
great. There you go. That's the ownership thing.
Yeah. I mean, my take on it would be that like, I don't think you could be mad at Tim or kind of judge him in any way if he took it, because we know Tim, like the type of person he is, what he values. He's different than any other GM or president that I've ever come across.
He really is. Like in ways good and bad, but he really is different. That's the thing I don't think people understand.
And because of that, I would trust him that he'd be making the right decision. Like I fully trust that if he takes the Minnesota job, it's the right choice and he's taking it for the right reasons. Yep. If he stays in Denver, I trust him that like he made that choice because it's the right decision. I mean, the Wizards job, that's exactly what happened. He wasn't nearly as close to taking that Wizards job as the reporting indicated or as the Wizards wanted to make you believe. But in the end, like it was the right decision for him to come back. So I think he's just like the type of person and he values the types of things where if he does choose to go, it would be probably the right call.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
When Tim rejected the Washington deal and came back to Denver, low key sneaky great moment in this Nuggets hit like arc. Like, I remember the day I was at Stiff's, we made the big I'm not leaving meme thing that has, like, since you see that, like, used all over. It was, like, a celebration. It was, like, the coolest, like, we're keeping this thing going. And I honestly feel like this would be the exact same if it were to stay. It would be this, like, oh, man, I felt like the breakup was happening. And if it doesn't, you're like, oh, you know, it to me at least, it would feel like a big relief.
Yeah, I remember the last time around, I was, like, angry. I was like so angry at the idea that the Nuggets were finally getting on track and this was going to completely derail them. I don't feel this way this time because first off, I just think that should Tim Connelly stay around, like this is going to be something that comes up all the time. Like he is, I mean, this is where, you know, when you read takes on Twitter and people, whatever, talking about Tim Connelly and his successes and his failures. It's like, you guys don't get it. Like, it doesn't matter what you think. The NBA is so into Tim Connelly. The people that are in this business recognize what this guy has done with what he's been given. He's built a very legitimate contender with no top draft picks, no in a city that is as unattractive to free agents as anywhere else in the NBA, and with an ownership group that to this point hasn't shown a willingness to go into the tax, which is just something that you just see with contenders over and over, like a willingness to like really spend money. And he has fashioned something that is like, I know that people are frustrated with the last 2 years because we took steps back, but again, like the fucking Warriors did not make the playoffs the last 2 years because they were missing one player. Like it does. So it's just hard to lose perspective on this. Like the idea of losing Tim Connelly would be so damaging to the storyline and the concept of the steps, this long-term story that we're on, like the long-term plan that's in place, like building the right kind of team around a player like Jokic, around Jokic, is something like team building takes years to do because you can only get like 1 to 2 players a year, new players.
Yeah.
And so it would be devastating. Luckily there are people in place that have been along for much of the ride, but like, you just can't replace the brain, man.
Yeah. I was going to say what a lot of people don't get, and it's impossible to get because I don't even think we get it fully because we're not on the inside, but we get it more than most, is that if Tim Connelly leaves, like the Nuggets take on an entirely different feel and vibe. Like they are an entirely different organization, I think, at least the minute Tim Connelly walks out the door. And maybe there could be some positives to that. I think there definitely could be.
Yeah, but Tim's not Nuggets, perfect. He has weaknesses. Yeah. There's no question. Like, there's no denying that.
Definitely. But just the culture, the environment, the atmosphere that's this organization is kind of known for, a lot of that goes away like the second he leaves here. Like, he is responsible for just the vibe around the organization. I really truly believe that. And nobody can replicate that.
That's a great point. And I wonder if to some extent, how aware of is Minnesota of that and how much of that was a factor in what they were after. And I mean, he's not just going to draft Jokic every offseason, right? So it obviously this guy can draft well, he's got a good eye for talent, but Denver is a team that's had some lows in their history that isn't always standing out as a place where, wow, as a professional in the NBA, from the front office side of things to the coaching to the player, oh, I want to be there. That looks like something I want to be a part of. And Denver is trending in that direction if they're not there to some extent on a smaller scale already, in large part in thanks to Tim, in my opinion. And so do you wonder if a team like Minnesota, too, is that what they're after? Do they want to start to cultivate this environment where, man, people want to come and work here. People want to be in Minnesota. And I do think that is something Denver could lose some of if Tim walks.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure part of it is them wanting to get a big name. And part of it is them looking at their team and being like, we're the Nuggets in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, that's the stage we're at, and we need, you know, a guy to push us to the next level.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say also that should Tim Connelly leave, I don't know that it's just a certainty that Calvin Booth would step in just right into his place, is that the GM we had before Tim Connelly was Masai Ujiri. Right. Somehow the Cronkies are great at hiring GMs.
I think this is part of what it is. Like, it's funny. I'll say this and then we'll take our first break because we're late. But I think the Cronkies have done a really good job of finding value for cheap, in large part because when you are cheap, you better become good at being cheap. And I think that that's what they're good at. But the thing is, cheap works for a rebuild. You find a young coach who is growing. You find a young player who needs time. You find a young GM who grows into it. And Tim was not good in 2014. You know, 2013, like he did draft Jokic in 2014. So he actually was pretty great. But there were moves along the way early on that you looked at and go, like, I don't know if that was the right decision here or there. But guess what? He got better over time and he did have a core value to him that was a seed that bloomed later on that has been only better and better over time. And that's why so many teams are after him and why one team is willing to give him such an unconventional deal. Like, this is what's funny is it really doesn't matter. You have to think about this. Joe Blow in the comment section, your take on it. It's not that everybody gets a take. But your take probably is less informed than the ownership group that is willing to spend tens of millions of dollars and ownership into getting him. Like, that decision probably carries a little bit more weight. But let's take a break. On the other side, I want to talk about what this means for the Cronkies. Are they on the clock? As well as what would it mean for Nikola Jokic and for the offseason at large if Tim Connelly were to leave right now, right before everything gets started?
Ivaka TV, if you haven't been able to watch Nuggets, Avs, and Rapids games this season, Ivaka.tv, check these guys out. It's the new reality and the future of TV programming. They've got Altitude Sports. They've got other national channels as well. Go to Ivaka.tv/DNVR, Ivaka.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. Make sure you do that. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 a month for the first 3 months, plus a receiver. No contracts, no hidden fees. They're not going to hike up the price on you all of a sudden. Ivaka.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. Also, if you're watching Ivaka TV, you can watch literally this show and the pregame and postgame shows that we do.
How cool is
that? We have a channel on Ivaka TV.
Let's go.
Literally called DNVR.
Let me say this. People are thinking about this and maybe they think, oh, that's kind of cool that you're that. Like, honestly, media is changing. Ivaka is obviously a landscape for distribution that's like different and unconventional. And I got to say, man, I love the vision. I love the vision these guys have saying like, hey, a DNVR TV station. And like now, you know, going into other markets and things, hopefully eventually maybe it just becomes every city has it all city. I think it's really cool. Right now, it's like a small thing, but I honestly think it's the beginning of a larger thing.
Yeah. Big Ivaka TV, guys. you can literally watch this show on Ivaka TV right now. So check them out, Ivaka.tv/DNVR. Also at DraftKings Sportsbook right now, the NBA playoff action, it's nonstop. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win, get $150 in free bets if they do. If you're looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs, check out DraftKings Same Game Parlays. You can do just that. Also, all customers, doesn't matter if you're new or existing, you can place a same game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game. You're going to get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sports for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, so now one important piece here for this whole deal is that you can bring us back up in or you're here whenever you're ready. There you go. One thing a piece of this is that the ownership situation in Minnesota is a little bit weird. They do have Glenn Taylor still an owner that is being converted out. Alex Rodriguez, and as you mentioned, Mark Lowry, that group led by those guys is now taking over. We don't know what kind of owners they're going to be. The thing is, people don't understand this. Most owners are bad in some capacity. Like, Stan Kroenke has his big weaknesses. I mean, he has been cheap. They don't have a practice facility. They
don't know the Nuggets exist.
He doesn't know they exist. Sometimes he just does seem like he has too many irons and too many fires. And like business wise, like it's not that common for owners to own seven professional teams or whatever it is that he owns. Like he is a distracted owner as well as I think a cheap one. But I think to his
even credit, though he's super rich,
and he's very rich, yeah, which is weird. But I do think
one of the richest owners.
Yeah. To his credit, though, I do think that he trusts the people that he hires more than some, and I think that's like there are owners out there that hire people and then tell them what to do, and it's like, why did you hire them? Like, this is really dumb. That's way worse than an absentee owner, which is what Stan Kroenke can be. I think that's one of the criticisms you can levy at him. But that being said, Minnesota has a weird ownership group in that the percentage of ownership for this new group is not complete. They are going to get to 60% ownership. At the moment, I think it's something like 20% ownership. So this deal is a little bit weird. And one, are we sure this new ownership group is like good? They might actually be insane. That might actually be even more miserable than to begin with. There are people just in talking to some of the people around Minnesota, I've gotten that sense that they're not very sure about this new group. It's and I feel bad for them. Yet Glenn Taylor, one of the worst ones. You get a new group in, and you're like, oh, what's it going to be? And you're like, damn it, Vivek Ranadive Part 2 is here. Like, this sucks. Yeah. So that might be the situation. But two, you're offering equity in a deal that hasn't finalized yet. That's a little bit strange. There's some pieces into this thing that are like, sometimes a deal is too good to be true. And I'm not saying that is the case here, but I don't know that it is as straightforward as like, oh, you get this and this is exactly how it works. So keep that piece in mind. But that part of it aside, I do want to ask, what do you expect of the Kroenkes here, Vogt? What is a fair expectation? And what do you think their decision-making tree looks like now with regards to they have expensive roster. They have some things they need to start doing here in the very new future.
I mean, it's interesting because the Kroenkes operate in silence, right? There's not a lot of public statements. So I don't know how much insight we're going to get into what they did and didn't offer and what the gulfs may or may not have been, right? So, like, there is probably a line in the sand for a president of basketball operations where you go, wow, that's a crazy offer. Congratulations, Tim. We can't match that. Like, that line exists. But the question is, did they do enough? Did they put a respectable enough deal on the table that this became a tough decision for Tim? Did they try? Did they push themselves to that threshold? And then beyond that, how do they react if Tim walks? Here's the thing. We'll talk about this later in the show. Jordy Fernandez also left, and he's with Sacramento. And just whether it's to keep Tim, preferably both, and if not one, then definitely the assistant spot. They just need to start spending money, I think, so long as Malone is comfortable with it, on the assistant coaches, on the facilities, on keeping successful, smart guys like Tim around. To this point, while I think the Nuggets are trending in the right direction, I mostly feel like we are on the Jokic ride. And the Kroenkes have an opportunity here to at least show us we're going to ride this wave into an evolution of sorts to a premier org. Are we going to spend? Are we going to invest in the spine of the Denver Nuggets? So I am not holding my breath, but there's an opportunity for them to start doing that here, namely keeping Tim.
Here, I want to comment on this one comment here. GK says, maybe this is George Carl. It's not weird. The riches are the cheapest for a reason. Yeah. I don't think this is true. In fact, I disagree so passionately about it. Steve Ballmer is the richest. Spends money like crazy. He hires people that are like there to be like, what was the Tim? What was his role that they hired?
Lee Jenkins got hired as like director of narrative. Some bullshit.
Stories. I don't know. Like,
no, the word story is in there.
Like, hired one of the greatest writers who I'm sure makes an enormous amount of money, and he hired him for this job that probably does nothing for your bottom line. Like, it's just a culture setter. Like, some rich people do not spend frivolously. Like, well, I'm talking wealthy people, but they spend very smartly and sometimes very aggressively. I mean, Lacob has spent a ridiculous amount of money in Golden State. Guess what he's done? Quadrupled his investment. Like, yeah. So this is part of it. Robert Parra, another extremely like, rich guy who's gotten richer since owning the Grizzlies, he is in line to spend an enormous amount of money and has openly said it. So I disagree about this idea that like rich people are rich because they pinch pennies. It's not true. They take smart risks.
It depends. It depends. There are different types of rich people. There's no one kind of person. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree with that for sure. It sounded like it was an axiom. I'm saying that's not. It's
yeah,
not
yeah,
an
yeah. There's a scene from The Simpsons when Homer creates a social network, and then Mr. Burns comes over to acquire his social network, and he just breaks his computer. He's like, what do you think I got rich by writing a bunch of checks? And then he leaves.
Yeah. I like where Vogt's head is at, where like, okay, if they lose Tim Connelly, they've got to bring in a top defensive coordinator and, you know, spend money elsewhere. Are we kidding ourselves? Like, of course they're not going to be doing that. This is how they've operated for the entire time that they've owned the Nuggets. And now they have a big luxury tax payment coming up. Of course they're not going to be spending elsewhere. Vibes are positive for sure. The stuff you were talking about with the Minnesota ownership, for sure. I've heard that as well. I mean, somebody very, very tied in and plugged in up there said, I think Connelly will be able to snuff this ownership group out and like see through the bullshit. And
snuff them out, kill them.
I think snuff them out, but also snuff them out. Yeah,
like snuff them pillow? Out.
Yeah, but like Tim is a people person. He's very good at reading people. I trust he'd be able to do the same. But yeah, if the money is up there, for sure, that would be the deciding factor, because that's the only reason he's leaving. He's not leaving because Michael Malone wants more influence on the roster. He wouldn't be leaving because of this Michael Porter Jr. contract. The money is the only reason he'd be leaving. People got to understand that.
Yeah.
So I think the fallout immediately would be, I would expect if this were to happen, that Calvin Booth would be elevated to the role of, I'm sure maybe he would just stay GM. I mean, if you remember, Tim Connelly started as the GM, got elevated to a vacated president of basketball operations seat. I think the same thing would happen, where it would almost be like not necessarily a commitment to Calvin Booth, but more of a like, I don't think that they would, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't know that the Nuggets would go out and hire somebody else. They would probably say a plan is already in place. Things have been discussed. Let's execute that and see what happens and make a decision afterwards about the long-term plans. That would be my expectation.
The one thing I'll say about the Kroenkes in general is that this is something they do right. This is absolutely something they do right, is they find the right guys to run their organizations and they allow them to do it. Where they go wrong is then backfilling them with cash, depending upon which team you're talking about. Los Angeles Rams seem to not be stricken by the penny pinching bug. They just built like the most expensive football stadium in the history of the world. They also just won the Super Bowl. The Avalanche, run by Joe Sakic, allowed to work with just full autonomy, and he has amassed has through this regular season been the best Avalanche team of all time, which is insane to say. Like, I don't know. Like, I actually hope that if Tim Connelly does leave, that they don't just keep the same, like, his team in place as just like, okay, that's the succession plan. These guys are already here. Like, I hope that they, like, if we're going to change, like, we should change. They should get, like, a dynamic guy. They should go through the process that they always do. And they somehow always find the right people to run these organizations.
But to use a metaphor here, I think they're good at drafting the Jokic. They haven't always shown to pay. And it's different with players because they do obviously do that. But I'm just saying that's the thing, Eric, that you're talking about is those things aren't always necessarily linear, that yes, they have found the talent. Although I will say the Rams do provide a little bit of hope in this way. And to some extent, the Avalanche as well. Like, you have to give all the Kroenke critics have to give credit that Rams, Avs, and Nuggets are all like rolling right now. That's an important thing. Go ahead, Harrison.
I would be concerned that the Kroenkes think, oh, we hired Masai Ujiri once. He was a star. We hired Tim Connelly next. He was a huge success. He's a star now. We can just do it again. Now we can find the next Masai Ujiri or Tim Connelly. And yes, those were two great hires. But I mean, do we have faith that they can do it a third time? Maybe. I mean, it's not a sure thing that they can, though. So I think they kind of could be playing with fire in that way. And the other thing I'll say is if, like I just said, if Tim Connelly leaves, it's going to be because of money. And we know he's severely underpaid. I was told, you know, years ago when he signed a contract extension and got bumped up to be the president of basketball ops, he doubled his salary, but he was still one of the lowest paid guys.
Right.
We know he's super, super underpaid. And part of me thinks that if he had been getting paid what he's worth for the last several years, maybe he doesn't even think about this offer because he is getting paid market value and he is getting paid what he should be. And yeah, the Minnesota job could be a lot more money, but he's already getting paid like a top president of basketball operations is. So if this goes poorly, man, I think it's going to be a really, really bad look for the Kroenkes. And with everything that's gone on with the altitude situation and now this, and they better freaking go pretty deep into the luxury tax because it's going to start looking really, really bad for them if enough of these things happen.
More importantly, though, to me, Harrison, is that this is arguably the single most pivotal moment in the franchise's entire history. Jokic is the greatest player they've ever had. He just won two MVPs. Their players are all coming back next year. I just yesterday declared that I'm starting to get these feelings about the Nuggets. I'm starting to like buy in and starting to believe that this next year really is going to be the year. Then no sooner than one day do I say that. Now I'm like, holy hell, like this could really throw everything into a tailspin. It could not, but it could also do that. And here's the big question, Boat. I am very curious how this would affect Nikola Jokic, because let's be honest, Tim Conley matters. Michael Malone matters. Aaron Gordon's and Montes, those guys matter. Jokic matters more than all of it by tenfold. And to me, that's the biggest concern. I never thought Jokic would leave Denver. Him saying, I'm going to sign that Supermax and I want to play here until they kick me out. I buy every little bit of that. If they get rid of Tim Conley, I just feel like it makes things way more volatile. Like right now, zero volatility. If you lose Tim Conley or a Michael Malone or whatever, the volatility creeps into where, well, a bad year, a bad season might actually derail things. Maybe that makes feelings change. That's how I feel, Vote.
I think that's definitely the case. I mean, on one hand, the hard part is done. They found a top five player in the league. And whether Tim is here or not, so long as Jokic is, you're going to have some floor you won't fall below, right? But Jokic wanting to stay here, I think, is a mixture of his personality, but also some of the stuff we exhausted in these earlier segments, just about that culture that Denver's built. There's an air of stability, an air of, okay, maybe – this season didn't go perfectly, or maybe I could make a touch more money elsewhere, but I just don't want to. I want to keep coming back here. And that's the part. Like if Tim leaves and then it's a rough year, do things feel a little more, you know, a little less stable the following offseason?
Of course.
Yes, so
of course.
That's my concern, right? Like Tim could walk. They could still bring all these guys back and compete for a title the immediate season. But how do things – When shit hits the fan, what does it look like? And I think right now, like these last 2 years, that happened. And there, what because you have this organizational alignment and these figureheads at each phase of the team that are there, that are constants, I think we were all allowed to take deep breaths and say they can probably come out of this on the other side. Without Tim, I think I would be less confident in that.
Yeah.
I think Malone is more important to Jokic than Tim. Maybe, maybe not. The one thing I will say is that the Conleys, like there's a lot of just relationship. This is a family operation. And there's a lot of like players in particular, you know, they don't know, like Jokic can't go out in public. You know, like he can't go make friends down at our mutual friend brewery, just hanging out, talking to people and do this. Like he's Jokic. He can't do that. A lot of these people behind the scenes have families that are intertwined in this or that. And Tim Conley, obviously, I mean, this is part of the family culture that he has built, is there is a real, I don't want to say fraternity because it's wives and kids and everything else that is very intertwined. So I get why you would suspect that, but there's more to this again that people just don't see behind the scenes.
Yeah. My read is that, like, I don't think Jokic would not sign the Supermax if Tim Conley left.
I agree. Yeah. Strong agree with that. Yeah.
Or if he would instantly be like, I don't know if I can be here.
Right.
I think Jokic is going to be fine. I think he's still going to be here, but I'm with Vogt in saying that it's going to be a different feel. It's going to be just a different vibe that is different from the last 7 years that he's been here for. Like Tim Conley sets the culture day to day and just kind of the feel and the attitude within the organization. That's going to be different. But like my initial read would be Jokic would be fine here.
Yeah,
I do want to say, just before it gets away from me, this is kind of a segment one point, but D-Line made a really, really good point. Like, even if Tim...
Wow.
I know. That's why it took me 42 minutes to get
shit. There. Right?
Like, even if Tim turns this job down, and this is in combination with the point Wind was just making, like, this is going to keep happening. Tim is in the middle of the Venn diagram of attractive candidate and gettable.
Yep.
And I right. that won't
he's the me of
right. So even if he sticks around, I hope the Kroenkes can get him to that level where, like, it's not irresponsible for him to hang up. You know what I mean? Like, right now, it would be irresponsible
yes.
for a man not to listen to these offers where he
yes. so much you more. Have to, dude. Everybody, listen to this. Like, if somebody approaches you with a business proposition, listen. Just listen. You're like, don't. Like, there have been so many times where there has been a job that I just have no interest in, but I'll take the meeting. I'll listen to, like, I'll see what they have to say. Like, you just don't know what you don't know.
Dude, I would love
every meeting I have with Aaron. I would love to take a meeting with A-Rod. That'd be cool.
Yeah, dude.
I'd love to just, like, have a beer with A-Rod. I don't think it
would be that cool, you guys. I think you think it would be cool. I don't think it would be that cool.
But I'd still take the meeting. I'd take the meeting.
I'm with Wind.
Yeah, you have to. And the thing is like,
you want
to
fly me up to Minnesota on a PJ? Like, I'll take the freaking PJ.
On a PJ Dozier? But the thing is, and first off, people are giving me a hard time about the Avalanche, this being the best Avalanche team. This is literally the best Avalanche team. They had more regular season points than ever in the history of their team. So suck on that. Anyway, also, yes, Tim Connolly is just in. The fact that in serious talks means he's talking to these people. They're in the room. They're having the discussion. Like, this doesn't mean anything other than they are talking about this in a real way. That doesn't mean that Tim Connolly is searching this out, that he's looking for a change, that he's looking. The choice of words in these, you know, in tweets are so impactful and they mean so much. And there's so much implied there that is causing us to just freak the fuck out. But it's like, you just calm down. All right, let's find out what happens. Yeah. And then we can react in kind here.
I will say the Nuggets lost Masai Ujiri, who to me is still like, I love Tim Connolly. Masai's right there at the top of the list as well for best GMs, culture mm-hmm. setter, scouting, development, mm-hmm. all of this stuff. Like, people think it's just picking players. Like, there's a lot more to being the president of basketball operations that exists even outside of just the like personnel aspects of it that a GM does. Masai is great at it. I was told, this is before my time, but I was told from very reliable sources that part of what happened, one, Masai wanted a new contract and Josh Kroenke kept telling him, hold on. And Josh felt burned by him because he kept saying, we will after the season. You would hope a guy would learn a lesson and say, like, you know, then Masai got a better offer that Tim Connolly could not, the Kroenkes could not match or were unwilling to match. And Masai ends up leaving. And I think Josh Kroenke was like, oh, he burned us. When it's like, well, if you offered him a job at the extension early, you wouldn't have ever got to this point. So you kind of burned yourself. You can't blame a guy for getting a better offer and then going that way. So I think this is part of it. But one of the things I had heard was the Nuggets were like, I had heard a rumor. This is a rumor, an unsubstantiated rumor here. I'll start with this. But I had heard that Masai was traveling like first class for some scouting trips or something like that. And they like were like, hey, man, knock that off. They're like, coach, like these expenses are getting out of control. In Toronto, he has a private jet, his team plane or something that he could take anywhere. It's like there's levels to this. And so I think that these criticisms – you do worry about the Kroenkes being the Montforts of the NBA, where it's like they're a farm system of talent. Not on the court. They've done a good job, again, of paying these guys. They paid Michael Porter. They paid Jamal Murray. They paid guys, Aaron Gordon. But outside of it, of being this like sort of farm system for like, yeah, we found a good guy, but we're not going to pay him. You guys can have him once we develop. Now we'll start developing a new guy from AAA until he's ready for the big leagues. And I think that to me, I don't know that I can sit here and say if they lost Tim Connolly, you know, it's all over. I'm not going to go that far. But I would say to me, the Kroenkes have a lot of things to answer. The Comcast dispute, practice facility, marketing your team better so that they have a better built fan base around you. And then, yes, of course, maintaining an infrastructure when it is one for you for seven straight years has only improved. Maintaining that. They're on the clock for all of those things. And losing out on Tim Connolly, that's one I didn't think they were on the clock for. And if they lose out on it, to me, I'd be really concerned and disappointed. Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll talk about Jordy Fernandez as well as Bones Highland being all rookie. We did that. Well, I guess if I had to credit anyone, I would say it was Bones Highland. I think he's probably the
Bones Highland, then us.
Then us. Then the all rookie Listen, Bones campaign was a success.
Never discount marketing. Marketing is powerful. So is branding. Never discount it.
The American Raptors guys, they got a game this weekend, May 21st. I think that's Saturday. They're playing at Infinity Park, of course, in Glendale, Colorado, Denver. If you're in town, check it out. If you don't know about the American Raptors, they are Rugby Town USA's newest rugby team. They have a roster that's made of players that come from backgrounds in football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field. They've all come together, all these professional athletes, some of them have played in the NFL, to build this awesome rugby team. They play at Infinity Park. The games are free, but you do have to get a ticket at AmericanRaptors.com. So go there, get a ticket, head out to Infinity Park, watch the American Raptors this weekend on Saturday. You can't make the game. AmericanRaptors.com streams all of them from their website. And if you're getting into rugby, check out the DNVR Rugby Podcast with Colton Strickler. He's got you covered not just about the rugby news going on here in Colorado, but throughout the country as well. So download the DNVR Rugby Podcast too. And we're back. All right. Well, Adam said he's going to be gone for this segment, so it's just us. We can talk all the shit about him that we want.
Holy shit! Can we start the podcast over? The first part was boring.
Yeah, he was talking a lot.
So the other news, like we teased just before the break, Bones Highland made the all-rookie team, second team, not the first team, made the all-rookie second team officially. Vote. Surprised, not surprised. I mean, he made it pretty comfortably. If you look at the voting, he number got eight. 81 total points. Yeah. He beat out Io DeSunmu, who had 75, and Chris Duarte, who had 52 and was the 10th guy on there. He made it pretty comfortably.
I actually was surprised. Not that I didn't think he was deserving. I just didn't. It seemed like the first of all, I actually think our campaign might have helped. Not even kidding. But we got,
of course,
we got rolling on that pretty late. Fair, all things considered, like, and honestly, Bones, because he was in and out with COVID and the ankles and still just cracking the rotation in the beginning, the Bones show got rolling fairly late in the season. So, I think he had that caliber year, but I was surprised to see him make it with the, like you said, the comfort that he did.
Yeah. Elon, what does this mean for Bones Highland?
So what does this mean for Bones Highland? Bones Highland is now bona fide. He is one of, if you saw the graphic the Nuggets put out of all of the other players in their history that have gotten this award or that have been named to an all rookie squad, it is like the absolute best Nuggets of all time. It's Chris Jackson, AKA Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. It is Dikembe Mutombo. It is LaPhonso Ellis. It is everybody that is somebody in the pantheon of the Denver Nuggets history. And it's just, Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, like he is now part of that. And it just shows like the fact that it's not just like a fun thing with Bones. Like he's so much fun to watch play basketball. He's so joyful on the court. He like reminds you, like he understands the concept that, basketball and sports in general are entertainment at the end of the day. And he like does not for a second overlook that and plays into it, which is just so fantastic. But other than that, like this guy is supremely talented and like the best is yet to come for him. Like no question. I mean, the reason, like the only argument against Bones not making it was just the amount of playing time that he got, which only came later in the year. Like the reason why he wasn't even in the conversation for rookie of the year is because like he didn't play for the first like half of the season. Basically he was like in out. Like if he played like he did down the stretch the entire season, I don't know that he would have become rookie of the year, but at least he would have been somebody that the league was talking about in a more serious way, and it wasn't just like a fun little regional story. The hashtag absolutely got this thing over the goddamn finish line. I'm serious. The people are incorrigible. Campaigning is what politicians do to get elected. It's all about just getting your name into the hearts and minds of voters, not even necessarily like winning them over, but just being like, oh yeah, Bones Highland, like that name Bones Highland, there's something like really powerful about it. And like it feels good to say Bones, it feels good to tweet all rookie Bones. And then also when you look at like what it represent, like this guy's dope. It's just like nobody watches the Denver Nuggets, we know this.
Hey,
so
you guys both think, question for both of you, I think at least mine, I would say maybe I can speak for you guys. Our second favorite rookie, Herb Jones, second team. Did he get snubbed at all? Was he a first teamer in your eyes, Wedge?
Fuck Jalen Green. First of all,
aggregators.
Aggregated. No, I'm fine with Jalen Green on the first team. I'm fine with it.
No, it's fine. He's fine.
Yeah,
that is my least favorite young player, Jalen Green, no question. And a lot of it is I think a lot of it is because Houston is just such a lawless disaster of an organization currently, so rudderless that they're like, whatever, get out there. It's a hooper's paradise each and every night. Hoop it up.
Yeah. Here's like my thing with Bones right now. I think he's a core member of this team. I really do. I think he's just so ingrained as like kind of the heart and soul of this Nuggets team right now, which is crazy for a rookie to be coming into such a veteran team that's a championship contender and establish himself as that guy. But there was an opening for him to do that, and he absolutely did that this season. And I'll bring this back to Tim Connelly, but I don't think the Nuggets draft Bones Highland if Tim Connelly is not running the Nuggets draft.
That's a good point.
There's no way, man. I said this the night of the draft. Bones Highland is a Tim Connelly guy. Just how he plays, his spirit, his story, how addicted he is to basketball. And like we can bring it back to how this organization could look different if Tim Connelly's not here. But I think the draft and the types of players they target is definitely one of the areas where it would be different. So Bones Highland for sure. A core.
I need to understand though that I still am not – I'm, like, so confused with the reaction that Tim Connelly had on draft night when there was the picture the video of him at the draft table – at the table when Bones Highland was selected and everybody else was cheering. And he had, like, the weirdest, like, non-reaction. Like, he was, like – I need details on this. I need to understand where his head was.
The two most stressful nights for a – GM or president is three most stressful nights. The draft, you like actually have to make a pick and be like, yes, this is our guy. Like we're taking this guy. The deadline, the trade deadline, if you're making a big deal, like right before it comes up to 1 p.m. Eastern, or the day free agency starts. Like those are the three most stressful times. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to look at your face in the most stressful time of your year, D-Line.
Literally what we do. We show our fucking faces during the most stressful times, watching the Nuggets lose big games, and then we put our stupid faces on TV.
I mean, you watched Chicago actively putting money in your pockets, and you looked like you wanted to jump off a roof.
Oh, when?
The HGO. The whole week.
Oh, well, yeah, but that wasn't like a moment. When it launched, I was like, well, first off, I was asleep. But when, but when it launched, I was like, oh, yeah. And then I did what I do, which is get drunk and then get in a fight with an octogenarian.
Yeah.
The other news that came out yesterday, very shortly after Shams reported that the Timberwolves are in talks with Tim Connelly, Jordy Fernandez is going to Sacramento on Mike Brown's coaching staff to be an associate head coach. He was the number two Nuggets assistant. Vote, is this a big deal or is this not a big deal?
Well, I think it was inevitable with Jordy, right? I think over the last 3-4 years, we've heard his name come up. He's interviewed for some gigs. I believe his name was mentioned for that Cleveland head coaching job. I don't know how close he ever got, but I allegedly interviewed for that. So at some point I expected Jordy to go. I will say this is a tough year to call yourself the lead defensive assistant for Denver. Like
defensive coordinator. Yeah.
Coordinator. Yeah. Like if they want to switch that up. All right. Which look, I'm not like Jordy was cooking with the best ingredients there. So I'm mostly kidding, but this was going to happen. What I hope is that there's not just, and this is no disrespect to anyone I do or don't know on that staff, just with where the Nuggets are at, it's not just internal promotion, everyone slide up, what's a cheap hire we can make at the end of the bench. I hope they at very least explore this idea of trying to find an elite defensive coordinator or just an elite assistant one way or another.
That will never happen. This every year, every single offseason is an exodus of assistant coaches. This happens every single year. Does it matter? I don't know. It doesn't appear to. Like the team gets better. We have different people involved. We lose the offensive genius that is now the head coach in Chris Finch of Minnesota. There's guys that are here that you're like, especially for somebody like me, not like you, who doesn't like actually talk to these guys. Like, I'm like, who the hell's that? Like,
right.
Quarters of the way through the year, I'm like, that's somebody I've never seen before, and they're interviewing him at halftime about
what. But this stuff does matter, you know.
It does.
I know what you mean.
I mean, it does, but like, does it? I don't know. Like,
right. From the outside.
Like, I literally don't know. I mean, I know that this is essentially like Michael Malone and his assistants run practices. They work. You know, they're in the boardroom discussing what their strategy is going to be, what their, you know, substitution patterns will be, blah, 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 all these things. Like, does Michael Malone just have such a heavy hand involved in all of this that the assistants are guys that know about basketball, but moreover are guys that are able to adjust the way that they coach basketball to the way that Michael Malone does? Like, he's entrenched long enough that I can see that absolutely being the case. Like, if Brandon Spano had like had an assistant that he fired every year and hired a new assistant, would that assistant matter? Like, or is it just Brandon Spano running the show? Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know the answer to any of this. All I know is that every year it's like, oh, I can't believe we lost that assistant, Mike Inouye.
Well, last year they lost Wes Unseld Jr. I'd probably say that was maybe a big deal because he was their defensive coordinator and the defense did drop off a lot. And he was a really good coach. Overall, I don't think Jordy Fernandez losing him is that big of a deal. I think Jordy's a really good coach. I think he's a really good assistant. He's been really valuable on the staff. I think he's a really good coach. I'm not surprised he went with Mike Brown because he broke into the league with the Cavs when Mike Brown was the coach in Cleveland. Mm. He was Mike Brown's guy. He rose up the ranks there from the G League to becoming an assistant. And he's getting a promotion to associate head coach. So not surprised at all. Good for him. I also think the Nuggets assistants could use a little bit of a shakeup as well.
Yeah.
Get some new blood in there. Get some new ideas in there. No, it's only one new guy last year, and that was Popeye Jones. Love you, Popeye. But I'm not anticipating the Nuggets bringing in like Mike D'Antoni or Kenny Atkinson.
Right. Know. Right.
That'd be great. But
yeah.
No. Oh, you guys got anything else before we head out of here?
Oh, I was going to ask. Sorry for bringing you to the spot. Don't know if you do or don't know, Wind. With the the ownership stake, can the Wolves just do that? Do they need to loop the league in on that? Do you know?
I don't know. Yeah,
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Question I had. Anyway, something to look into.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's legal, if it's illegal. I'm guessing it's legal. Like, I don't see what would be wrong with that. Here's my question for you guys, actually, though. Who do you think leaked the story? The Timberwolves or Tim Connelly?
The Timberwolves.
Is that even a question? Tim Connelly does not want this spotlight in this. He doesn't want everybody like this is everybody. He hasn't died yet, but we're already having a funeral, but it's an angry funeral. Like, we don't want to he's just hearing now, like, why we didn't actually like whatever, all this like nonsense that comes out because there's like feelings of animosity towards losing your guy and having him choose somebody else over you. This is there's no possible way this could come from anybody but Minnesota. This is like, they want people to, they want their fan base to understand, like, hey, new ownership group coming in. Hey, we're making moves here. We're talking to the top guy. We're deep in conversations. Like, our guy Shams, let him know, get that out there. Like, all these
people. We're really looking.
Yeah. Like, you'll note, like, the people that you guys have been able to talk to on that side are somehow very well informed on this. And on this side, you guys have to, like, dig and scrap and, like, try to find any scrap of information. Like, they're making that very well publicized out there.
I also think – go ahead, Wind.
No, you go. You go.
General rule of thumb with the Nuggets, like, Shams, I'm more skeptical that it came from Denver. Like, I think – that's to say Woj typically breaks Denver news that I understand came from Denver. So to me, all signs point to this being Minnesota news.
I agree. But the only thing I thought about is what happened with the Wizard situation. That news got out there. And then, you know, to keep Tim, the Nuggets gave him a pay bump and an extension. Like, that's the resolution if Tim Connelly stays in Denver. He's getting a big extension and a big pay bump.
Right, right.
Getting the news out there, like, you could talk yourself into being like, yeah, Tim Connelly would want that out there because now the Kroenkes are on the clock.
Definitely true. Definitely true.
That's a thought I had. That's just a thought I had.
I think that their relationship is better than that. Like, I really think that there
very
is
well might be.
I mean, this is obviously outside looking in. I just get the sense that there is, with Josh Kroenke and Tim Connelly, I just think they like they're boys. Like, I think that they like each other genuinely. Like, I think that Josh Kroenke specifically like loves basketball. It's where it's like who he is at its core.
That's true.
And the fact that, like, you know, he is in the draft room all the time, and he's a, like, Josh Kroenke is part of this team, and I think he like views himself as like part of the decision making team, obviously, because he is, but like more so than maybe even with the other squads. Like, I can't imagine he's as deeply involved with like the Avalanche decision making and, you know, the Rams and the Arsenal or whatever, but like the Nuggets seem to be like a passion project for him, and Tim is like a guy that seems like they have like a real connection, and they go to Serbia again, and like, just, you just saw like in that little video, like, you just saw like this is like, you know, this is a, it's also funny to talk about like the Nuggets as like this, it just feels like this big monolith, but really it's like six guys that are just like in a room, like making decisions. Hey, what are we going to do? We're the Nuggets, you know, like,
I know. How do we...
Bones Highland. He'd be cool. How about Bones Highland? How about Bo Bo? How about Michael Porter?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That shot was pretty deep. He shot that from far out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We've said it before, but I'll just close with that. Like, look, Tim Connelly doesn't want to leave Denver. He wants to see this through. He's totally different than every other executive, where Tim Connelly's not jumping at a flashier gig with like a cool little title to get a moderate pay bump, like a lot of his colleagues would. He's not doing that. He wants to stay in Denver long term, probably for the rest of his career. But this offer, if it's, you know, like an offer that he'd be stupid for not taking, he's probably going to take it. That's the only way that I feel like he could leave. And if he does, it's not going to be a good look for this ownership. I'll tell you that.
Well, good for him. You know, good for him if he does. Yep.
All right, we'll see what happens. Keep it locked. I've got an article up on thednvr.com right now.
A good
on
one. I read
everything
it.
That's happened with good. This situation. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. We'll see if anything happens. I don't expect this process to drag out for too long. I mean, they've got the draft in a little over a month. So I don't think this will drag out for too long. I bet we'll get a resolution pretty soon. Talk to you guys tomorrow. See you then.